I spend an incredible amount of time, as you know, diving into data, attending webinars, because education and data is the antidote to fear. Investing is like 80% mindset and only 20% tactics. We make an incredible amount of really important decisions in an instant.
Welcome to the Passive Income Brothers podcast.
Here, we take the fear out of real estate investing using real-life stories of everyday successful investors.
Let's go.
Welcome to another episode of the Passive Income Brothers podcast. My name is Tim Lyons, and today I am joined by none other than my co-host and brother, Greg Lyons. How are you doing today, buddy?
Tim, I'm doing great. I could feel you bringing that energy today. And for our listeners, we have no guests today. It is the Tim and Greg show for the next X amount of minutes, and I'm fired up.
Yeah. So, you know, Greg and I always struggle with, you know, do we bring guests on every single week or should we talk about some current events, right? Because we get a lot of, you know, feedback from the show and we elicit a lot of feedback from some of our trusted advisors. And there's just so much going on, Greg, right? With the economy, the geopolitical landscape, recession, interest rates, you know, all sorts of stuff, right? And it's overwhelming. And I think it causes some fear and uncertainty. And when investors have fear and uncertainty, Greg, the answer becomes no, right? And what do? We squirrel away money into the bank. But as you know, from being a student of this show and probably other shows, is that with inflation at 8.3% was the new read, the new handle, right, in August, you know, your purchasing power is losing 8.3%, you know, if it's sitting in cash, if it's sitting in a checking account, if it's even sitting in a high yield savings account, right? At maybe 1.3%, like, whoa, watch out. So, you know, listen, we don't have all the answers, right? And in full disclosure, Greg and I are registered representatives of a broker dealer. So this episode is not to give any sort of advice or financial planning advice or making recommendations, right? That's for registered investment advisors. This is simply our Tim and Greg's outlook about where we see things heading. What are we doing, right? We're skating to where the puck is going. And there's really something, there's a simple metric that Greg and I use when we're investing, and it's called ROS. And we got that from one of our prior guests, Billy Keels. And he talks about return on sleep. And if you guys don't know me or Greg, we love to sleep, right? So there's something to be said for the return on sleep, right? I feel great knowing that almost my entire net worth is in real estate. And I also feel great about another metric, ROTI, and that is return on time invested. You know, Greg and I just had a conversation. It's funny. We just got back from a trip together this past weekend in Nashville, Tennessee, that we'll talk more about. But Greg and I were talking about buying a new construction townhome that's going up in a development behind Greg's neighborhood. And, you know, we got excited for about 3 or 4 minutes. And then we said to ourselves, why the heck would we ever go and buy and have to self-manage real estate ever again, knowing that we have 9 or 10 operators that we have fully vetted, we've invested heavily with, and we get to collect the cash flow and leverage their expertise and leverage their boots on the ground, leverage their experience, let them go get the tenants and put them in and kick them out and renovate units and paint and pick paint colors and undermount sinks and hardware for the cabinets, because our return on time invested is everything to us. And that's why we started this journey. But you know what, Greg, let me hear some of your thoughts, some of those metrics and kind of where we're going today.
You know, the return on time, you know, time is our greatest asset. And, you know, it's fleeting, you know, every day we get a little bit older. And, you know, I'm glad we came to our senses with buying something and being active landlords. But, you know, there's something different for everyone. For us, the passive route is kind of where we're going with things. And that's okay. And that's where we want to be. And like you said a little bit earlier, we're not accountants. We're not making any recommendations here. But we do hear from our investors, whether we're having lunch with someone on the phone, we get a text message with different questions. I would invite all of our listeners, if you have a question, this versus that, should I be doing this? What about interest rates? I would invite you to email us, greg@citysidecap.com or tim@citysidecap.com. And we can do an entire episode just answering your questions. And I think a lot of times that gets right to the heart of what people are thinking. Again, like Tim said, we've had wonderful feedback. And for the record, I can't believe anyone listens to this podcast, Tim. You know, we started nearly a year ago and we were making our family download episodes and listen, and a couple of friends that maybe took us up on it a little bit. But our listenership has just kind of exploded over the summer. Yeah, and into the fall. So we're really excited about what we're doing. And maybe our message is resonating a little bit. Seems like it is. You can always, always help us out by leaving a rating and review. I mean, that's just absolute gold in the podcasting world. But if our message is resonating and you do want to ask us a question, shoot us an email. We would love to do an episode, maybe in a few weeks, and answer all of your questions.
Yeah, I love that. So right now we're at like 94, I think, Greg, 5-star ratings. And I lost count on the reviews, but really that is everything to us, guys. So if you're listening right now and you're driving, don't do it. But if you're at a desk or something like that, if you could really just smash that review button, right? And just leave a written in review. It doesn't have to be long or anything. It really helps us get in front of more people and have more impact. And Greg and I would be forever grateful for that.
Tim, let's talk about housing.
Let's talk about housing.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Why don't we talk a little bit about where the housing market is? Single family, multifamily. Let's talk a little bit about where we are right now. And, you know, are we going to have a big housing crash? Are people going to be fleeing apartments anytime soon? You know, what are your thoughts on kind of where we are right now in the housing market?
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, I spend an incredible amount of time, as you know, diving into data and attending webinars and all this kind of stuff, right? Because really education and data is the antidote to fear, right? We have grown up in a time where investing is like, you know, I've heard a stat out there, 80% psychology or 80% mindset and only 20% tactics, right? So we, you know, what does that tell you? That tells you that we make an incredible amount of really important decisions in an instant on how our belly and our gut feel. And, you know, if we have more capital right now, it's burning a hole in our pocket. We're just like, oh my God, like, what do I do? Like, all right, well, I've always been conditioned and taught to go into stocks. Like, you know, oh, the stock market's been down this week. Let me see if I can buy stuff on sale. And I guess it's like one way to do it. But I mean, like, that's kind of, you know, smoking the old hopium, right? And hoping that you got in at the right time and hoping that it's going to go up in value. But, you know, there's so much more to it, right? I mean, we live in, this is 2022. I mean, the data out there is insane. But, you know, do you understand how to even evaluate data, charts and graphs and, you know, economic data and leading and lagging indicators and history? And, you know, it's overwhelming, right? And, you know, when somebody's overwhelmed, the mind gets confused. What's the automatic answer, Greg?
Shut it down.
Shut it down, right? You know, a confused mind says no, right? It's our archaic brain telling us, you know, it's like trying to save us from like the saber-toothed tiger back in the day, right? For survival. Well, now, like, you know, your financial survival, your brain is saying, nah, man, this is too risky. It's uncertain. I have fear. I don't know. I'm unsure. So what do? You just stay in cash. And, you know, maybe, you know, go into your savings account because that's what we've been taught to do. So I'm going to challenge you to, you know, get out of that comfort zone. And one of the ways that Greg and I got out of that comfort zone was to surround ourselves with people that were in the space that we wanted to be like, that we admired. They had, you know, experience. They were doing the thing that we wanted to do, invest in real estate. Because let's be honest, I mean, real estate's been around for a really long time. The fundamentals haven't really changed all that much, Greg. So if really it's a R&D, what Greg and I talk about all the time is rip off and duplicate. You know, you find somebody that's done it before you and has had success, right? And they're willing to teach you or mentor you or coach you. And you literally follow the playbook and you learn the language of real estate or you learn the language of, you know, investing in stocks, whatever it might be for you. And once you can rip off and duplicate, then your mind has that certainty, right? You have that box checked, right? You can go into it with confidence, right? And when you do that, your whole paradigm is shifted from a mind of scarcity to a mind of abundance, right? And that's when you can rely on your ROTI and your ROS, right? So, you know, just to share some stats out there, I got this from Jason Hartman, who uses a company called, you know, he uses the National Association of Realtors, the National Association of Home Builders, and he also uses something called Black Knight. And Black Knight is a real estate analytics, data analytics firm that if you go to their website, you can actually look at some of their data and their downloads and presentation decks and stuff like that. But, you know, if you read the news or you watch CNBC or Fox Business or wherever you get your financial news from, they're talking about a housing crash, Greg, right? And housing is going to be a disaster. And oh my God, like real estate is just, you know, it's going to be too risky to invest in.
Yeah, I think it's just stoking the fears of 2008, which is fresh in a lot of investors' minds.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a couple of stats I wanted to share. You know, 40% of the homes in America are paid off. No mortgages, free and clear. They got to pay the property taxes and upkeep the home. And that's their liability for their home. And that's incredible.
Tim, hold on. Can you say that one more time?
40% of, so 40 out of every 100 homes is paid off. No mortgage.
That seems so pretty safe.
That's one thing, right? And then another stat I got from him was about 25% of the mortgages have been refinanced in the last couple of years with record-breaking low rates. So about 25% of the mortgages out there are sub 4%. So, you know, I'm 40, Greg's 44. We were taught that mortgages are a form of debt and debt is bad. But I'm going to challenge you out there to flip the script on that one and start viewing your mortgage. If you have a sub, you know, 4%, sub 3% mortgage, flip that script and understand that that mortgage is now your asset, right? You are locked into that financing for 30 years, right? And you'll be paying that mortgage for a long time with a devalued dollars, right? So a dollar today is worth way more than a dollar tomorrow, than a dollar from 15 years from now, right? So you'll be paying the bank back debased dollars and you'll be locked into that rate. So that is now an asset for you. That is going to be the biggest thing. So here's my play for you guys. 40 out of every 100 homes are paid off. 25 out of every 100 homes have basically an asset that people are not willing to trade in right now, either by selling their home or refinancing their home, right? So where is the housing crash going to come from? If 40% of the homes are paid off and another 25 have incredible financing terms, that really disincentivizes them to move. Unless you have to, right? Maybe you have a job or maybe somebody dies or whatever the case may be, there's going to be some outliers there, right? But by and large, people are not going to be looking to sell their home right now if they have an incredible rate. And why is that important? That's important because our housing stock is, you know, not at all-time lows anymore. It used to be about 1 month, about 3 months ago. It was at 1 month supply. A normal housing market out there looking for, you know, to buy a home is about 6 months of supply. And right now, according to Jason Hartman and some of these stats, is we are about a 3 month supply. So we're still wildly under, you know, we're 50% less than a normal 6 month housing supply. And people are not going to be incentivized to move right now to get in, to leave a 3% mortgage and get into a 6 or 6.25% right now is not that sexy.
Yeah.
So you know, where's the housing crash going to come from?
Yeah. Tim, you know, Lisa and I just, my wife and I just talked about this the other day, and we have, you know, one kid in high school, another one in middle school, and we talk about where are we going to be in 5 years and stuff like that. And we always thought about, you know, maybe when the kids go to college, are we moving? Are we going to a warmer climate? You know, whatever it's going to be. But we then talked about are the free money we have as leverage on this home. And we're probably not going to find an interest rate like that anytime soon. Now, I think interest rates are a little bit high. They're over 6% right now for 30-year fixed mortgages. Will they stay like that forever? Probably not. But what is that? 6, 12, 18, 24 months? Who knows? But in the long term, having, you know, our interest rate is in the twos for our home, why move? It is absolute free money. But that really, it just takes another home off the market. So when people are looking for a home, they're not going to be able to buy this one because we're not going to sell it anytime soon.
That's 100% right. And so, you know, that's your asset, right? So, you know, I would really caution anybody when you're reading the headlines that are driven to get readers and eyeballs onto their content, and the same thing with news headlines about the housing crash, the impending housing crash. There's no doubt there's going to be price discovery. There's no doubt that some of the more cyclical markets, some of the hotter, you know, quote unquote, hot markets may have some pricing corrections. And what's a correction really defined as, right? You know, 10% or more, basically. But everyone that I've been, you know, listening to and following in the last couple of months, you know, they're saying cyclical markets may have a correction of maybe 15%. A lot of the markets, you know, that are more stabilized markets in the tertiary and, you know, secondary areas, a lot of areas that we invest in, are going to be like, you know, basically flat or even still more traditional growth of maybe say 2-3% in home values per year. So, you know, listen, do I have a crystal ball? Am I 100% right on everything? 100% no. But the folks that I've been following and the rooms that I've been in and the data that I'm following is suggesting that there's not going to be a tremendous housing crash. I also want to pivot real quick into 2008. We get this from a lot of investors saying, hey, this feels like a lot like 2008. And all right, well, you know, every 10 years or so, we're due for like a recession, right? An economic correction, right? To flush out the excesses and the misallocation of capital. And is that happening right now? I think most definitely. But, you know, you have to realize that in 2008, prior to that housing crash, if you could fog a mirror, Greg, you could get a mortgage, right? They call them ninja loans, no income, no job, you know, ninja, whatever. And people were getting, you know, these 90, 95, 105% loan to value mortgages with adjustable rates and these teaser rates. And they had credit scores of sub 600. They could be one day out of bankruptcy and they could qualify for a mortgage. So the underwriting has been incredibly strong. And, you know, I don't have the stats right in front of me at this moment, but off the top of my head, I want to say that since the last 2 or 3 years from the pandemic, the underwriting in the mortgages, people have had credit scores of 730, 740, 750, which is incredibly strong. So the underwriting is tight. The mortgage being taken out by people are from for folks that are mortgage worthy, right? So this is not 2008. 2008 also had an incredible supply of homes on the market. Home builders were making money hand over fist. You think about places like Phoenix, Las Vegas, California. I mean, they got crushed, right? So this is not 2008 in my humble opinion, but those are just some of the facts. I want to start getting you guys understanding that, you know, take your data, get it from good sources, get it from primary sources, not necessarily from the news outlets.
You know, your education is so important, Tim, right? And, you know, we're going to talk about some resources at the end of this podcast, and we'll drop them into the show notes, some different places to find it. But, you know, when you're educating yourself, you know, that's a good antidote to fear, but also surrounding yourself with kind of strong people. We always talk about masterminds and stuff like that. But Tim and I recently just got back from Nashville, Tennessee, where our mastermind that we're in met in person. And it was 2 days of just fantastic talk and thinking with an outstanding group of people. And a lot of the times you just don't have that. You don't have access to these type of people that are doing things. They're putting deals together. They're still underwriting deals, even when in the market uncertainty. We were able for, you know, a full day of education and, you know, kind of mentoring and listening to some really outstanding speakers. This is what supercharges Tim and I to, you know, keep raising money, keep finding new deals. Like, this is the type of thing that is kind of lighting Cityside Capital on fire. But when you surround yourself with the right people, it's life-changing.
Greg, I mean, I want to stack on top of that all day long. You know, I was fired up. I was basically going to, you know, I was going to bring the heat on the plane all the way back to New York. I mean, I was ready to do like massive amounts of push-ups in the aisleway in front of everybody, all these different people, because those speakers like literally poured diesel fuel on top of the entrepreneurial and investing fire that I have, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, incredible, incredible people. We were surrounded by high-level entrepreneurs, professional athletes, business owners. We talked about capital markets, debt and equity. We talked about real estate. We talked about systems and processes. We talked about marketing. We talked about life. We talked about goals. We talked about mindset. And on a really, really high level with multimillionaire type of folks. And, you know, when you're in the room, when you're in the arena with folks like that, you can't help but to level up, right? I mean, I had a range of emotions from wanting to do random push-ups in the aisleway to shutting Cityside Capital down and going back to my little safe space and not doing anything because, you know, but being challenged. So my challenge to you, the listener, is to find out who is your tribe? Who do you want to be surrounded by and go and get yourself in the room? Go to the conferences, go to real estate conferences, go to investing conferences. We just missed FinCon 2022 in Orlando this past week, Greg, because we chose to go to the mastermind meetup down in Nashville, but that's a good one to go to because, you know, there's so much more that you can do, right? And it's going to take a little bit of effort. It's going to take some flying around the country, the hotel, the meals. And believe me, Greg and I are cheap and we don't want to spend the money, but you know, when we finally get there, we always say to each other, like, I don't know why we haven't done this a lot earlier in our lives. So
Tim, that's important because we got into a room And I think we're guilty of not only being cost conscious, but sometimes we think too small. And when you get in a room with great people that are doing unbelievable things, it kind of opens up your mind to all the possibilities. So some of our listeners here say, hey, I want X amount of passive income in the next 5 or 10 years. Why not double that goal or that figure that you have? Because it is possible. Now, working a couple extra hours, you know, in your job is probably not going to get it done. But what are the avenues? What are the levers you can pull to increase your income, increase your investments, and double what you thought was even possible, or double what your goals were? That was kind of one of my biggest takeaways from the weekend, is stop thinking so small. You can do it. You can find ways to make money and to invest and to make connections with people that only accelerate your income and your investments. So you can have a life in 5 or 10 years that is a little bit more on autopilot, and you're not relying on just a single source of income.
Are you ready to talk about thinking small yet? Are our listeners ready to hear some of the quotes from the great Greg Lyons? Are we there yet?
No, we're not there yet. That's going to be the 1 year anniversary show. All of the ridiculous comments I've made over the last 2 years. And folks, this is coming in December, our 1 year anniversary, and it's going to knock your socks off how much grief Tim has had to put up with my thinking small, my ignorance, and just lack of just any sort of
common
sense.
I can't wait for that episode.
Oh, it's going to be
episode 51 or 52. It's going to be awesome. But no, you know, we were challenged this weekend to talk about passive income and our goals. And, you know, me personally, and I think Greg was kind of the same way, was, you know, we were like, oh, you know what? Like, just like a lot of other people, you know, 10 grand a month passive income would be tremendous. Like, that would be amazing. That would be life-changing. And we got in the room and, you know, there's people there with $50,000 a month in passive income.
Mind-blowing.
And they're not that much older than me. They're in their 40s and they didn't start right away. They didn't start out with, you know, 50K of passive income, but they made it, right? They made it to that point. And it says, I looked over at Greg and I just, you know, I think we were thinking the same thing. Like, what is possible, right? What is possible when you get into these rooms, surround yourself with the right people? Jim Rohn has a great quote. He says, you are the average of the 5 people that you spend the most amount of time with. So we could talk all day about this, Greg, but, you know, get mentored, get coached, find your mastermind, find your tribe, go to your local meetups. If you guys want to talk to Greg and I about some of our experiences, or, you know, if we can point you in the right direction, obviously reach out to us as well. But we do need to move on to the next topic, Greg.
Well, and, you know, that's true, Tim. And another theme that came out of this mastermind is our next topic. And it's the wait and see approach before investing. You know, we talk about education and we talk about taking action, but a lot of people that we talk to say, the market's not right, or the timing's not right. Sometimes the timing's not right because you don't have enough capital to invest and stuff like that. And we totally get all those things. But when you have the capital, you have the education, and you're still taking that wait and see approach, it's paralyzing to people. And there's always going to be headwinds when investing. Whether you're investing in the stock market, whether you're investing in multifamily, industrial, stuff like that, there are going to be headwinds. But how do you navigate those headwinds? Are the operators that you work with, are they seasoned? Have they been through the trenches before when things get hard? It's the wait and see approach is what can really have you lose money. Because, I mean, we started this whole business in the beginning of the pandemic, and we could have easily taken the wait and see approach. But no, we've started piling money into deals and to multifamily at the beginning of the pandemic, at the height of uncertainty. And that has paid off handsomely. I mean, multifamily values have gone way up. But if we would have taken the wait and see approach, we'd still be sitting around waiting.
That's right. I want to just have a stat here from Black Knight. And home prices, this is actually from June, but it says home prices are up 10.8% year to date and 44% since the start of the pandemic. And let that sink in, right? 44%. This is the national stat, right? Obviously, real estate is super local, street by street, home by home, neighborhood by neighborhood, right? So you really have to dive into your market deeper. But on a national level, almost 11% year to date and 44% since the start of the pandemic, which Greg just alluded to, was the height of uncertainty and fear and the world is going to end, right? So I challenge everybody, yes, you know, realize that there's opportunity out there. Realize that there's, you know, investors and operators, turnkey operators for single family, multifamily syndicators, syndicators for industrial, for self-storage. There's passive investment opportunities everywhere. But, you know, we talked before on the show about how to vet a sponsor, how to vet a market, how to vet an asset class. You know, there's homework and checkboxes that you guys got to do. And if you guys want to talk more about that, please reach out to Greg or I, Tim or Greg at citysidecapital.com.
Hey, but Greg, Tim, I was having lunch with an investor yesterday, and he was asking me about the headwinds in multifamily right now. This is a 1031 investor that's going to be investing a large sum of money. You know, it's not $50,000 he's putting in. He's putting in a large sum of money in a 1031 exchange. And he was asking me about the headwinds. And I talked about the operators that we raise money for and how when the tide's going out right now, because over the last 2 years, every Tom, Dick, and Harry got into syndication, got into multifamily, and it became really easy because, you know, everything was rising. Inflation's, you know, getting everything, rents are rising out of control. But now as the tide starts to go out, we're going to see which experienced operators are swimming with trunks on and which operators are swimming au naturel, if you will. But having those experienced operators, putting your money with them, that is the most important thing you can do. And there's always going to be the recession, job losses, headwinds, interest rates, what's going on, but are the operators that you're working with going to be fantastic?
Yeah, I want to stack right on top of that, Greg. You know, right now, how are we positioning ourselves in what seems to be a recession, even though they haven't called it yet, rising interest rates and likely higher interest rates than everybody thought, and for longer than everybody thought. Everybody's waiting for the Powell pivot or the, you know, the Fed put, right? And to prices and increase liquidity. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen as quickly as everybody thinks. But, you know, with that in mind, the fundamentals of real estate have not changed, right? Providing clean, safe, affordable housing, taking care of people's concerns, whether it's, you know, a leaky faucet or pest control, whatever it might be, you know, providing that service hasn't changed. Underwriting deals has changed though, right? How do you navigate capital markets and debt, right? Right now, you're not getting 75, 80, 85% LTV or LTC, which is loan to value or loan to cost. Right now, you're going to get 50, maybe 60, 65, right? Depending on, you know, are you in agency debt? Are you in a bridge loan? Are you with a community bank? What kind of terms can you get? So that's the expertise that you need right now. How can you underwrite a deal with the right type of debt? Fixed rate debt right now is what everybody's looking for, right? But that means, you know, you're not going to get as much capital from the bank. So we got to raise more equity on the other side. But then let's talk about resiliency real quick, Greg, with real estate, like, and specifically where Greg and I focus on, you know, multifamily and self-storage. Multifamily has a resiliency, right? Because if you do your education, you'll find out that there's Class A, Class B, Class C, and Class D multifamily housing. And some people kind of have a different approach to, you know, are they done by year, by vintage year of when they're built, or are they done by, you know, the quality and the building, but also the neighborhood it's in. So there's a little bit of difference on how they classify it. But just saying Class A, right? Class A is either brand new construction or, you know, top of the line type of apartment. People are willing to pay a premium to live there during really good times, right? In a non-recessionary time. But maybe in a recession, that high-flying, you know, attorney or whatever they do, the highly paid W-2 professional, maybe they take a hit or maybe they lose a job and they say, you know what? I love living in a doorman building in, you know, a great neighborhood or a great city, but I'm going to drop it down to a Class B or B plus, right? Because now my money is going to go a little further. I still have an incredible place to live. I still got the pool. I still got the gym. It's a nicer place, but it's maybe not right downtown. Maybe it's a mile outside of downtown or something like that. Same thing goes for the B renter. If they lose a job or they get relocated or something like that, they can go to the C class housing, which is more workforce housing, you know, clean, safe, affordable, you know, gets the job done, but maybe doesn't have all the amenities that people are looking for. But there's a resiliency that in a recession, the A renter can drop down to the B and the B might drop down to the C and so forth, right? And in the good times, the C can graduate to the B and the B can graduate to the A. So we love that kind of B class, you know, C class housing because of that resiliency in any type of market.
You know, Tim, it's interesting you say that. How does the resiliency and the higher interest rates affect the passive investor? You're putting your equity into these deals and you're supposed to be getting, let's say, a 7% preferred return. But with this uncertainty, people moving, higher interest rates. How does that affect the returns for a passive investor?
Yes. So there's a whole bunch of levers that are pulled to make these deals work, right? And when you're investing into multifamily or commercial real estate, I'll say in general, you're basically buying a business, right? And there's income, there's expenses, there's net operating income, and then there's, you have to pay the debt, right? So if you have your income minus your expenses, which gives you your net operating income, which is the holy grail of commercial real estate, that's how basically whatever your NOI or net operating income is, divided by the area cap rate, that's your value of that property, right? That's how we drive value in commercial real estate. But then we got to pay the debt service, right? And whatever's left over is your cash flow that's available for distribution to your investors. So by definition, if the interest rates are going up and they're becoming higher, right, then the cash flow is going to go down. All right. So, you know, that's why I highly encourage people when you're going to be looking at this, you know, figure out what the business plan is. Is this a value add play? Is this a stabilized property? And what does that do to my cash flow in year one, year two, year three, year four, year five? So what we're seeing right now is on a lot of the value add plays is maybe the first year cash flow is say 4%. But the deal called for a preferred return structure, which is say 7 or 8%. So what we're saying is that we see deals sometimes that'll offer investors, passive investors, a 7% preferred return. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting 7% in year one. You might get 4% in year one. And that's, you know, then that 3% that we owe you that compounds and accrues into year two. And say in year two, we give you 6%. Well, that's still not 7, right? So now we owe you 1% for year two on top of the 3% in year one. I hope everybody's with me, but say we sell at the end of year two, right? We need to catch you up on the preferred return that we did not pay to the investor from years one and two. So 3% from year one, 1% from year two. So we need to give you a check for 4% upon sale at the end of year two. Obviously, this is a hypothetical, you know, situation we're going over. Then what would happen is you get your $50,000 back and then we split the profits 70-30. So you can see that the cash flows are a little lower, even though there's a preferred return. And why do we do preferred returns anyway, Greg? We do them because, you know, it incentivizes the operator to bring operations up to a point where, you know, we can satisfy the preferred return. And then only when the passive investor hits their preferred return does the general partner get to enjoy any sort of cash flow, right? So the general partners can't take any cash flow or, you know, aside from the fees from property management or asset management that are already negotiated into the deal, they can't take any of that cash flow until the passive investor gets their due. You know, but that's part of the education, Greg. That's what we love talking to investors about. That's why we created this show, right? We want to share with everybody else what's available to them, especially for that passive investor trying to increase their passive income.
Yeah, see, Tim, you're so right about that. And for the listeners that just kind of fell off their chair or fell off the treadmill because Tim was talking numbers, reach out to us. We could talk more about it. But that's kind of that fight or flight, right? I don't really understand this. It's okay to ask questions. We didn't know a damn thing about this either when we started. We asked plenty of questions and don't be embarrassed to ask questions. That's number one. When other people say like, oh, I'm only getting 4%, I'm only getting 5%, real estate is too risky. The thing that is just so ingrained in people, Tim, is that most people's stock portfolios are down 30%. Mm-hmm. And everyone seems to be fine with that. You pay, you know, you say, oh, I can't believe it's down. It will come back and stuff like that. But everyone seems to be comfortable with their stock portfolios being down 20, 25, 30%. The one thing about real estate is not only does it add some diversification into your stock portfolio and your overall portfolio, but real estate isn't measured daily. It's not measured to market. So your daily value of your investment is not going to be measured. What's going to be measured is, you know, when you get your returns, when the property sold, that's the only time it's measured. And you could go through some lean times, but when you go to sell, that's when it counts. And that's why being with a strong operator is really, really important.
100%. I want to stack on top of that. Naturally, Greg, you knew I was going to stack on top of that.
Oh, you always stack on top of it. Yeah.
you know, people ask me, Tim, what's the worst thing that could happen? I'm like, well, the worst thing that could happen is you lose all your money, right? I mean, that's the worst thing that could happen with any kind of investment, right? But here's what at some of the conferences with some of the, you know, more well-known sponsors, I say, listen, like, what happened during 2008 or what happened right in the beginning of the pandemic? And the answer is, you know, listen, maybe we pause investor distributions for 1, 2, 3 months, whatever, you know, it might take, right? But if we pause the investor distributions, that doesn't mean that they don't get paid. That just means that we're conserving cash flow right now. We're kind of getting a sense of where we are. You know, let's get everything paid. Let's see how this is going to shake out. And then when we resume cash flow distributions, you know, the ones that you didn't get passive investor, you know, those are compounded and accruing the entire time. So you got to get paid that distribution, you know? So, but still, the reason I say that is because it's not like you took a 10% hit in your portfolio on a Tuesday, right? And now you got to climb back out of it. And while I'm talking about that, I just want to go over one stat that I love to talk to investors about is, you know, if you had $100,000 in your stock account and, you know, over a period of a month or two or three, it goes down by 30%. Greg, how much would you have in your account if it went down by 30%?
Now, I do not like doing public math, but it went down to 70,000.
Dude, you're the man. I love that. So now you're down to $70,000, right? So people think, all right, listen, I had 100 grand. I went down by 30%. That sucks, right? But now I got 70 grand. So when it goes back up by 30%, I'll be good to go. Well, I have news for you that if you really get the calculator out and if you go down 30%, you need to go back up 43% just to break even. You got to go down 30 and you need to go up 43% just to get back that 100K. That is incredible, right? And that's why when we talk to investors and they're like, dude, they're like, I don't even look at my 401k statement. It's embarrassing. It's horrific. You know, I challenge them. I say, you know, listen, 401ks, listen, if it's available to you and, you know, there's a company match, I understand that, right? Keep on doing that. But what I don't understand sometimes is people who would just invest in stocks because where they have a registered, you know, investment advisor, they give 100% of their faith and they say, go manage my money or what do I do or whatever. You know, that's incredible to me. That's, the losses are insane, right? And if you can take that capital and put it to work and cash flow the entire time, which is could pay for vacations, could pay for college, could pay for a car payment, could pay for more assets, that cash flow. I mean, the velocity of money when you take control from your financial advisor is insane. And we're actually working on getting another guest on here who's the anti-financial advisor. And that's going to be a phenomenal show. So stay tuned for that. But I just wanted to bring that up, right? So Greg, we've been going for a long time. So yeah. I want to be mindful of everybody's time. I wanted to hit people with some resources that you can start to educate yourself with. Some of the ones that Greg and I use all the time, and that's the following. And we'll put them in the show notes as well. It's the National Association of Realtors. They have great information about current home prices, supply, demand, markets, all that good stuff. The National Association of Home Builders. If you want to get the finger on the pulse of where the market is going as far as housing, housing starts, permits, what markets are getting supplied, what the absorption rates are, you know, where the capital is flowing, National Association of Home Builders, Black Knight, shadowstats.com. There's a podcast called Macro Voices for all my macroeconomic nerds, just like myself out there. It's phenomenal, phenomenal. It's made for hedge fund managers, money managers, family offices, but they take you through some phenomenal topics, very relevant to right now. They're all about an hour long, so just be mindful of that. Jason Hartman has a great podcast. It's 3 times a week. Really, really powerful stuff with a lot of stats. And then for those who really want to dive into the commercial space, Peter Linneman is a well-regarded expert in commercial real estate. He has something called the Linneman Letter. It comes out quarterly. It's a little expensive. I think it's like $1,500 maybe for the year for individuals. $3,000, I think, for companies, Greg. But he also does, if you Google Peter Linneman on YouTube, he has a lot of current videos with a lot of the commercial real estate firms. So highly recommend that as well. Greg, do you have anything to add on top of that?
Since I gave you that list earlier, you were able to, you know, give all my secrets away, which is good. But you know what? If you're just getting started, take some of this in small doses, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't understand what XYZ term is, Google it. And then slowly but surely, if you kind of read this a little bit, 5 and 10 minutes a day turns into 15, you really start to get a handle on macroeconomic trends, housing trends, and then you can start making educated decisions. Now, don't educate yourself for 10 years and then do something. If something comes up that you see, reach out to one of us. We would love to have a conversation about everything economic, housing trends, multifamily, self-storage. We love to talk about all that stuff. We love to talk about real estate. And listen, if we can't help you, we're going to point you in the direction of someone that can.
100%. So, Greg, I could probably keep on talking for another 2 hours, but I really want to cut it now because
we want to retain listeners. So let's shut up.
Repel everybody.
Yeah, let's shut up and sign off. And, you know, hopefully we retain a listener or two.
So listen, guys, we are so grateful for your support. Thank you for spending another week with the Passive Income Brothers. We have some phenomenal guests coming at you in the next couple of weeks. And also, I want to share with you guys, we are going to be attending the Multifamily Mastery 5 conference, which is going to be held November 3rd, 4th, and 5th down at the Gaylord Palms in Orlando, Florida, with the Jake and Gino crew. That's how we got started. And if you're interested in attending, you know, shoot us an email if you're going to be going, because Greg and I would love to meet up with you, maybe get some dinner or something like that. But number two is, in the show notes, we're going to have a link that will give you a coupon code for a $200 off for your ticket, which is a phenomenal gift from Jake and Gino. So we're happy to support them. Obviously, any questions, please reach out. But thank you so much, and we will see you again next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Passive Income Brothers podcast. We would be grateful for your support of our podcast by giving our show a 5-star rating and review and subscribing to our show on your favorite podcast platform. Don't forget to take inspired action after listening to this show so that you can start building out your passive income streams. Finally, head on over to citysidecap.com to connect with us and find out more information about how to get started passively investing in real estate.